Lecture 27, Africa, a World of Interconnectedness.
In the last lecture, I talked a great deal about the importance of the monsoon winds, mentioned the camel, and made the point that the web of interconnectedness was expanding further and further and further, because the world was becoming, in a sense, smaller, as things like camels and monsoon winds made communication slightly easier between peoples who had no face-to-face contact. This lecture continues this theme and explores the contributions of a continent which we haven't looked at much lately in the course, tropical Africa, the cradle of humankind. Now we come back and look at how it fits into this increasingly interconnected Indian Ocean world. But before we go to the Indian Ocean, I'm going to step back for a moment and take a look at the revolution in desert travel caused by the camel and the rise of the city of Meroe in the Sudan. Then we'll talk about the state of Aksum on the Ethiopian highlands, which dominated Red Sea trade in the first millennium AD. For this part of the lecture, we're going to get back closer to the Mediterranean world, to Egypt and Alexandria and so on. Then, in the third part of the lecture, we'll visit the stone towns of the East African coast, where a distinctive African and Islamic civilization was engaged in the monsoon trade across the Indian Ocean. And then finally, we'll end up in Africa, and we'll follow the source of the African gold and ivory trade far inland to the highland plateau of southern Africa, and visit the site of Great Zimbabwe and the cattle kingdom of which it was part. The theme here again is interconnectedness between Africa and a wider world. It was an interconnectedness driven by needs, by desires, on both sides of the Indian Ocean, on both sides of the Sahara, and in many other regions. In the 8th and 7th century BC, Nubian lords, as I told you, ruled briefly over Egypt before being conquered and fleeing southward back to their remote desert homeland by the Assyrians in 667 BC. They were treated out of harm's way, and their civilization flourished. But by 350 BC, the successors of the Egyptian pharaohs had moved southwards even further, far from the Mediterranean world, and resided at the city of Meroe, fairly close to modern-day Khartoum in the Sudan. Why they did this was probably mainly strategic, but there may have been another factor too, and that was that ungainly beast, the camel. After 500 BC, the camel was revolutionizing desert travel between southern Arabia and the eastern Mediterranean world. As I said in the last lecture, camels are ideal for crossing deserts. They're known as the ship of the desert because their padded feet travel easily on soft sand. They store fat in their humps and conserve water very efficiently. But, and this is the big unknown but, a lot of people aren't aware of this, everyone has heard of the camel's hump. It isn't the camel that makes the trade. It is the saddle on the camel that made the trade. And once efficient load-carrying saddles were developed, the camel was so efficient for crossing deserts that it replaced the wheeled cart over enormous areas of southwestern Asia and the rest of the desert world. And as I said last time, an enormous far-flung caravan trade developed, with entire communities of people who spent their whole lives on the move in the cosmopolitan world of the caravan. And there were great caravan terminuses developed, one of which, of course, was Petra the fabled city of Petra in Jordan. Another one was medieval Cairo, places where Saharan trade routes and other trade routes became great crossroads.